All right. Welcome in, everyone. Diving deep today, especially for those of you, I'm guessing a lot of nursing students out there, really getting into the core of it all, maternal adaptation during pregnancy.
Absolutely.
Huge topic, right?
It is.
And we want to make this super straightforward for you.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a whole chapter here on maternal adaptation. We've got the study guide. We've even got a quiz.
That's right.
So this is going to be like your one-stop shop for getting through this.
Absolutely. And this is need-to-know information for anybody going into the nursing field. And we really want to make sure that you guys feel solid about this material. And we're going to break it down in a systematic way, starting with, like, how do we even know, right? What are the signs and symptoms? How do we know that pregnancy has even occurred?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll get into, like, all the really cool things that happen to the body, all the adaptations. Like, we'll talk about the different body systems, how they're affected.
Yeah.
And then, of course, nutrition, right? Like, what do you need?
Yeah.
It's so important.
To nourish that growing baby.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the psychosocial adjustments, which are equally important.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And I think sometimes they're maybe less talked about.
Yeah.
But we really want to make sure that you guys have a good, well-rounded understanding.
Okay, so let's get to it then.
Okay.
First stop, those signs and symptoms, right? Those first hints.
Right.
Like, oh, could this be it?
Exactly.
Now, our sources break this down really nicely into three categories.
Yeah.
Presumptive, probable, and positive.
Love it.
And I think this is a really good way to think about it. You know, it's a nice, like, flow chart in your head.
Totally.
So let's start with presumptive. What are we talking about there?
So presumptive signs are those that the woman is going to experience, right?
Right.
So these are subjective. She's going to be reporting these.
Okay.
But they're not definitive.
Okay.
So they might make her think, maybe I'm pregnant.
Uh-huh.
But there could be other causes. Okay, got it. So
they're like those first hints.
First little inclination.
I'm Zach.
Okay, what are some examples?
Okay, so the big one, right.
Yeah.
Amenorrhea.
Miss period,
exactly.
Classic.
And then, of course, there's the infamous nausea and vomiting.
The morning sickness.
Yeah, morning sickness, which, you know.
Let's be honest.
Doesn't always happen in the morning.
Not just the morning, any time of day.
Any time.
Yeah.
Fatigue, very common.
Oh, I bet.
A lot of women are like, I'm so tired early on.
Yeah.
And then breast changes.
Okay.
So tenderness, enlargement.
Makes sense.
Urinary frequency, also pretty common early on.
Okay.
And then we have quickening.
Oh, yeah. Explain that one.
Which is, it's a fun one.
It is, yeah.
It's that first time the mother feels the baby move.
Yeah.
And that usually happens, you know, around 16 to 20 weeks.
Wow.
So it's kind of later on in the first trimester.
So all these are things that the woman is feeling.
Exactly. These are all subjective. Yeah. They're coming from her.
Yeah.
So that's why they're sort of the first level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now,
a conclusive.
Let's take it up a notch.
Okay.
Probable signs.
Okay.
What are we talking about here?
So probable signs, these are going to be objective.
Okay.
So these are things that, like, the healthcare provider is going to observe or find on exam.
Got it.
So they're more concrete. Right.
Okay.
But still, not 100%.
Not quite there yet. Okay.
So, you know, a good example is a positive pregnancy test.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously those detect HCG,
right,
the pregnancy hormone.
Yeah.
And then there's some specific signs that we look for on exam.
Okay. Tell me about those.
So Hagar's sign, that's a softening of the lower uterus.
Okay.
Goodell's sign, that's a softening of the cervix.
Got it.
Chadwick's sign, so this is like a bluish discoloration of the cervix and the vagina. And that's because of increased blood flow to the area.
Ah, that makes sense.
And then we have this really cool one called ballottement.
Okay, I've heard of that, but explain it.
Yeah, so imagine, you know, the provider is doing an exam and they kind of tap the cervix.
Uh-huh.
And if the fetus is floating, you can actually feel it kind of bounce back.
Wow. Okay, that's a good
and a little rebound.
Visual, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, probable signs.
Yeah.
Getting closer.
Closer, more concrete.
But still not
definitive.
The gold standard.
Right.
Okay, so positive signs. Here we go. This is the
for sure
pregnancy confirmed.
Yes.
What are we looking at?
So these are the only ones that can absolutely confirm.
Okay.
Because they are direct evidence of the fetus.
Got it.
So there's no other explanation.
Makes sense. Okay.
So for example, fetal heartbeat. So typically you can hear that with a Doppler.
Okay.
Around 10, 12 weeks. Sometimes a little later with a fetoscope.
Yeah.
That's like the old school
Yes.
listening device.
Yeah.
Fetal movement. So the provider can actually feel that during an exam. And then probably the earliest that we can get confirmation is through ultrasound. So visualizing the fetus on ultrasound.
So, I mean, as future nurses, I think that's a really important distinction to have in your mind.
It's foundational.
Presumptive, probable, positive. It
Yeah.
really changes, I would imagine, how you assess a patient.
Absolutely. Yeah. It helps you understand, like, what level of certainty do we have?
Totally.
Totally.
Okay, so now let's move from those initial signs to the really incredible adaptations that the mother's body goes through.
Oh, this is the cool
This
stuff.
is the cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
To support this growing baby.
Yeah.
It's amazing what the body can do.
The human body is amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
So I guess let's start, system by system.
Okay, let's do it.
What's happening with the reproductive system itself?
All right, so lots of changes, obviously, right? With the reproductive system, the uterus, it's going to go through like a major transformation,
I bet.
right? It's going to grow from like this little pear-shaped organ to like something that can accommodate a full-term baby
One.
and amniotic fluid. And throughout the pregnancy, you're going to get these Braxton Hicks
Oh,
contractions.
yeah. Tell me about those.
So these are like practice contractions. They're usually painless, usually irregular. They're just those tightenings of the uterus,
Great.
kind of getting ready.
So, I mean, if you're a first-time mom
Yeah.
and you feel that, you probably think, oh my gosh, is this it?
Right. And it can be a little confusing, but they're usually not that intense, and they don't come like in a regular pattern.
Okay, that's a good distinction.
Yeah.
And then the cervix, we talked about Gödel's sign.
Right. So the cervix starts to soften. And it actually forms a mucus plug.
Oh, yeah, the mucus plug. What is that all about?
So this is a really, really important, it's basically like a collection of mucus that seals the cervical canal, and it's like a protective barrier. So it helps prevent bacteria
Got it.
and infection from getting up into the
Okay,
uterus.
so it's like a little guarding at the gates.
Exactly. A little bouncer, not letting anything bad in.
Okay, and what about the vagina and the perineum? What's happening there?
So you get a lot of increased blood flow to that area, and that's what's responsible for Chadwick's sign, that bluish discoloration. And then there's an increase in vaginal discharge, which is totally normal. It's called leucorrhea,
Leucorrhea. Got it.
and it's a physiological response to all those hormones.
Hormones, they're the puppet masters of pregnancy.
They're running the show. And then of course the breasts. Lots of changes
So
there.
many changes.
They're going to grow. They're going to become more tender. The areolas, the area around the nipples, is going to darken. And then sometimes in the third trimester, you might start to leak colostrum, which is that early, really nutritious breast milk.
So, wow. Okay. So, just in the reproductive system alone,
More
a
yet?
lot going on.
Just the tip of the iceberg.
Just the tip. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let's broaden it out a little bit.
Okay.
How is pregnancy affecting other systems?
Right.
Let's start with the cardiovascular system.
Okay.
That's got a big job
Huge job.
to do, right?
Yeah.
It's got to support both mom and baby.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
So, blood volume, to support this growing baby and meet those increased demands, blood volume increases like dramatically, like 40 to 50%.
That's huge.
It is. Heart rate increases, 10 to 15 beats per minute. That's pretty significant. And then this is a really important one, supine hypotensive syndrome.
Yes, tell me about that. I know that positioning is really important for pregnant patients.
Right. So this is sometimes called vena cava syndrome. And basically, when a pregnant woman lies flat on her back, the weight of the uterus can compress the vena cava, which is that big vein that returns blood from the lower body to the heart. And that can cause a big drop in blood pressure. She might feel dizzy, lightheaded, even faint.
So that's a
And
really
it can also impact the baby.
that's a really important thing for our listeners to know as
Absolutely.
future nurses.
Yeah. Positioning is key.
Absolutely. Okay, so side lying.
Yes. Side lying, preferably left side,
Okay.
is going to be the
All
best.
right, so we've got cardiovascular. Let's move on to respiratory breathing. What's
Oh.
happening there?
So oxygen demands increase.
Makes sense.
Right. You've got a growing baby. The uterus is pushing up on the diaphragm. So a lot of women will switch from abdominal breathing to more thoracic breathing,
Okay.
meaning they're breathing more with their chest.
Got it.
And then shortness of breath can be a common complaint just because of that pressure.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Let's talk about the GI system.
Oh, the GI system.
I know there are some common complaints that go along with pregnancy.
Yes, there are.
What are we seeing?
So the hormones of pregnancy, particularly progesterone,
Okay.
cause smooth muscle relaxation,
Okay.
and that includes the digestive tract. So things slow down.
Yeah.
Digestion slows down.
So that leads to constipation.
Constipation,
Makes
yes.
sense.
Heartburn,
Oh, yeah.
also very common,
Yeah.
because the esophageal sphincter is relaxed,
Got it.
and that allows stomach acid to come back up.
Yeah, not fun.
Not fun. And then, of course, we've got nausea, which
The
we already talked about.
nausea.
But yeah, so things are slowing down.
Yeah.
But interestingly, appetite often increases.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like things
Yeah.
are kind of at a standstill,
Yeah.
but you're hungry.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then you get these food cravings and
Oh, the
aversions,
cravings. Yeah, I've heard.
which we're not really sure why that happens, but
Yeah.
it's very common.
Yeah. Okay, what about the urinary system?
Okay, so urinary frequency,
Yeah.
super common,
Yeah.
especially in the first and third trimesters.
Okay, so why is that?
So early on, it's mainly hormonal.
Okay.
Like the hormones are making the bladder more irritable,
Got it.
and then later on, it's more mechanical.
Okay.
It's the uterus pushing on the bladder.
Yeah, makes sense.
So you just have less room
Yeah.
and you have to go more often.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about musculoskeletal.
Okay.
Carrying that extra weight, all the hormones.
Right.
What's that doing to your structure, your stability?
So we have this hormone, relaxing,
Appropriately named.
very appropriately named,
Yeah.
and it basically relaxes the ligaments and joints
Oh,
throughout the body.
makes sense.
And that's important, to prepare the pelvis for childbirth,
Yeah.
but it can also increase the risk of falls.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, so women need to be careful.
Yeah, something for our listeners
And
to
keep in
remember.
mind, yeah. And then as the abdomen grows, the center of gravity shifts,
Yeah.
and a lot of women will develop lordosis.
Okay, what is that?
So that's like that inward curve of the lower back.
Okay.
So it's like a postural adaptation to help maintain balance.
Makes sense. All right. And then lastly, the integumentary system. So, skin, hair, nails,
Yeah.
what's going on there?
Okay, so lots of skin changes.
Okay.
You can get hyperpigmentation.
Okay, what is that?
So that's like an increase in melanin production.
Okay.
Again, it's due to hormones.
Okay.
So a good example is linea nigra,
Yeah.
that dark line down the middle of the abdomen. Melasma,
Okay.
which is also called the mask of pregnancy.
Okay. Yeah.
That's those patches of darker skin that can appear on the face.
Yeah, and stretch marks.
Oh yeah, stretch marks, striae gravidarum,
Those are common.
very common
All right.
as the skin stretches.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow, so it really is incredible
It
how
is.
many changes the body goes through.
Yeah, it's like a whole body experience. Like
Yeah,
every system is affected.
it really is.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's shift gears and talk about nutrition. This
Oh.
is critical
Super fur.
for both mom and baby.
Yeah.
What are the key things here?
So optimal nutrition is essential.
Yeah.
Let's talk about calorie needs first.
Okay.
So calorie needs increase, but gradually.
Well,
So the biggest increases are going to be in those later trimesters. So in the second trimester, it's an extra 340 calories per day.
got it.
And then in the third trimester, it goes up to about 452 extra calories.
Wow, so those third trimester babies, they need a lot of fuel.
They're packing on the pounds.
Yeah.
Protein is super important.
For growth.
Yeah, for growth, for tissue development. The recommended daily intake is about 71 grams.
Wow. Okay, and iron, we hear a lot about iron in pregnancy.
Right, so iron is essential.
Yeah.
It's needed for that increased blood volume
Right.
and for the baby's red blood cell production. And the recommended intake is about 27 milligrams per day.
Okay, and what about folic acid? I know that's a really big one.
Yes, folic acid is critical.
Yeah.
It's especially important in those early weeks
Okay.
for preventing neural tube defects
Yeah.
like spina bifida.
Yeah, okay.
So the recommendation is 600 micrograms per day.
Got it.
And then calcium,
Important for bones.
yes, for the baby's bones and teeth, and also for the mother's bone health. And the daily requirement is about 1,000 milligrams.
Okay, great. Now, one thing that our sources touch on is a gluten-free diet
Okay.
during pregnancy.
Yeah.
What are the big takeaways there?
So even if you're following a gluten-free diet,
Ah.
it's still really important to make sure you're getting enough of those key nutrients,
Okay, like what?
like fiber, iron, folate, calcium.
Got it.
A lot of gluten-free products can be lower in those.
Oh, interesting.
But there are tons of great naturally gluten-free options,
Okay, like what?
like rice, quinoa, corn, potatoes.
Okay, so those are good carb sources.
Yeah, good carb sources.
And I guess, reading labels.
Always read labels.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, make sure there's no hidden gluten.
Yeah, okay. And what about general healthy eating guidelines?
All right, so the USDA has this great MyPlate system.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's a really visual way to think about your meals. So half your plate should be fruits and vegetables,
Okay.
lots of color.
Uh-huh.
A quarter should be whole grains
Got it.
or gluten-free whole grains.
Right.
A quarter should be lean protein.
Okay.
And then you also want to make sure you're getting dairy
For calcium.
for calcium, exactly.
That's it.
So it's just a really nice visual
Yeah.
to kind of help you plan your meals.
Yeah, it's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Okay, what about weight gain?
All right, so weight gain, this is going to be individualized
Okay.
based on the woman's pre-pregnancy BMI.
Okay, got it.
So for women who are underweight before pregnancy,
Uh-huh.
the recommendation is 28 to 40 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
For women who are at a normal weight, it's 25 to 35 pounds. For women who are overweight, it's 15 to 25 pounds.
Okay.
And for women with obesity, it's 11 to 20 pounds.
Got it. So it really does
It varies.
depend on where you're starting from.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the pattern of weight gain?
Okay. So typically in the first trimester, weight gain is slower.
Okay.
You might only gain like 1 to 4 pounds total.
Got it.
But then in the second and third trimesters, it's about 1 pound a week.
Okay, so it's more consistent.
Yeah, more consistent.
Yeah, all right. Any special considerations for, different groups of women?
Yes. So for vegetarians and vegans,
Okay.
really important to make sure they're getting enough B12, iron, and protein.
Yeah.
They might need to rely on fortified foods or supplements.
Okay.
For women with lactose intolerance,
Huh?
they need to find other sources of calcium.
Okay, like what?
So leafy green vegetables, almonds, fortified juices.
Okay, good alternative.
Yeah. And then there's this condition called pica.
Okay, I've heard of that. What is that exactly?
So this is when women crave non-food items,
Oh, wow, like what?
like clay, ice, starch.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and we don't really know why it happens,
Yeah.
but sometimes it can be related to iron deficiency.
Ah, that makes sense.
So it's definitely something to report to the provider.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So really providing good nutritional guidance.
Super important.
Super important.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's move on to that other aspect of pregnancy that is so important.
Yes.
But sometimes I feel like gets maybe not as much attention.
Yeah, it's just
A
a
psychosocial,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not just a physical journey.
Right, exactly. Pregnancy affects the whole person.
Yeah. So what are some of the big things we need to know here?
Okay, so let's talk about emotional responses first.
Okay.
So in the first trimester, it's really common for women to have all kinds of emotions.
Makes sense.
Right? Like excitement, disbelief,
Yeah.
maybe even some ambivalence.
Yeah, that's understandable. It's a huge change.
It is a huge change.
Yeah.
In the second trimester, you often see more acceptance
Okay.
as the reality kind of sets in.
Yeah.
And this is usually when women start to feel the baby move, that quickening that we talked about,
Yeah.
and that can be a really powerful bonding
I
experience.
bet, yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the third trimester.
So in the third trimester, it's common for anxiety to increase as
Okay.
the due date gets closer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we also see this nesting behavior.
Oh, tell me about nesting.
So this is that urge to like get the house ready,
Yeah.
prepare for the baby,
Yeah.
organize, clean,
Get everything
Yeah,
perfect.
it's like this primal instinct
Yeah.
to get everything ready.
Yeah. Okay. And then our sources talk about Reuben's developmental tasks.
Yes, these are great.
Yeah, can you explain those?
Okay, so these are like four key tasks that women typically go through
Right.
as they become mothers.
Okay.
So the first one is seeking safe passage. And this is all about, getting prenatal care, learning about pregnancy and childbirth.
Yeah.
Doing everything they can to protect themselves and the baby.
Okay, that makes sense.
The second task is acceptance by others.
Okay.
So this is about feeling loved and supported
yeah.
by their partner, family, friends.
It takes a village, right?
It does. Mm-hmm. The third task is binding into the child.
Okay.
So this is about developing that emotional connection with the baby.
Uh-huh.
And it often starts with like acknowledging the baby as a separate individual.
Okay.
And feeling those movements can really help with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the final task is giving of oneself.
Okay.
So this is about starting to prepare for that selflessness of motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, making adjustments to your lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
So, you know, these tasks, they're not necessarily linear.
Oh.
You know, women might go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a really helpful framework.
Yeah.
For understanding the psychological journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about sex during pregnancy.
Okay.
I know that can be a topic that comes up a lot.
Yeah. It's a common question.
Yeah. What are some of the key points there?
So first of all, libido can fluctuate
okay.
during pregnancy.
So it can go up or down?
Up or down, yeah.
Okay.
Some women might have an increased desire, especially in the second trimester.
Okay.
Others might have a decrease,
uh-huh.
you know, because of hormones, fatigue, discomfort.
Yeah, makes sense.
There's also a lot of fear
yeah.
about harming